This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Carly, just going to get the Alphabox letter up. Here it is. Your letter tomorrow is C for Charlie.
Okay.
Wanting to make sure I give away a hard one. No, this is easy. Oh, this is a fairly easy one.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, like there's not. I'm struggling to find one.
We've been trying to give it away because Maguire gave it away last time.
I know. I'm still angry. I'm gonna do this one, but you're gonna know this one straight away. But I don't think the average person would.
Okay.
Name me, starting with C, a dangerous bird.
Cassowary.
Yep. There you
now,
go.
Now, also, I take issue with that.
Well, you know it because you lived in Cairns.
Yes.
And they're all popping up around there being all dangerous and stuff.
People, so yes, they can.
They scare the crap out of me.
They are very dinosaur-esque.
They are.
Can rip your loins out, but they don't choose to do that.
They pecked at me at the Perth Zoo.
Oh, stop.
I'm not joking. They had it properly fenced off, it pecked at me through the thing.
They're very beautiful, placid birds.
They're beautiful.
Unless you approach their young.
Monsters.
So
they're like velociraptors.
They are quite big. Like, I would not personally, like, mess with a cassowary.
Because they're dangerous.
But, no, I think from memory, no one's died of a cassowary injury in Australia.
Oh, should I look that up?
Yeah, let's look it up.
All right, well, just again.
Or if they do, it's not common. Like, I just, like.
Well, that doesn't. That's.
The thing is, I've been out and I've come across cassowaries before, and they're not trying to get to you. You know what I mean? If you leave them alone, and some people, there's a beach actually up in North Queensland where people actually feed them. And they
2019, a man died in his farm from a cassowary.
Oh, but that was in the US.
That's true,
and
but it's the same creature.
And he also had it captive. And
yeah, but it's still, you said it's not dangerous. It killed him. He was 75. He owned the farm. He got killed by it.
Yeah, but that.
Bang, dead.
Yeah, but that's not like, you know, we don't know the story there, you know.
Well, no, we do. I'm reading it right now. He died. The
okay.
end.
What
Start
about
and end
in
the story.
What about in the wild?
Yeah, all I can see is this one story. It's just popped up over everything. But,
so I feel like they get this kind of, I don't know, people love to kind of say, you know, literally I've just Googled them, the most dangerous bird on the planet.
Okay, I think I found another story. Yep, in 1926, sugarcane growing area north of Cairns, Philip McLean died after receiving an injury to the throat. He had been protecting his dog, which had been attacked by a cassowary.
Yeah, but that's a long time ago.
Yeah, but he still died.
Yeah, I know. The thing is, right, if you don't provoke cassowaries and go near their babies, then you're fine.
I don't know.
If you're bushwalking and you come across one, you kind of just get away from it, you know?
I love how you're defending them, but.
I am, because I feel like they have a bad reputation when they don't deserve it.
Well, it doesn't help when Alphabet's questions aren't a dangerous bird starting
with C. That's what I take issue with.
But you answered cassowary.
Only because I know the rumors. I've heard them.
The rumors? A man died. We've got two dead.
You go to, I'm trying to think of the beach. It's up north somewhere in.
Oh, I know the beach. It's called Murder Death Beach.
No, but anyway. And you should never feed a wild animal, but the cassowaries are known for coming up and sharing picnics with people.
Yeah.
You shouldn't feed them though.
No, you shouldn't, because they'll kill you.
Do you want to know something really cool about a cassowary?
They
love
murder.
Them. They're beautiful.
They love them.
Don't.
They love a little bit of murder.
You know that thing on their head?
Yeah.
So they could never quite understand what it did. It kind of looks like a big shell. It turns out that it's like a little bit of a solar panel for them, and it helps regulate their body and their body temperature.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So they can like solar charge themselves.
Charge them up for more murder.
Yeah. Stop it. Anyway, should we change the question to name a bird starting with C?
No. It's a dangerous bird.
It is not. Two people died.
You
and
know
I'm
what?
RIP to those
I
people.
All right. Well, would you accept?
I want more details.
Would you accept crow?
Look up how many people have died from a crow attack.
Okay, let's look it up, shall we?
I bet you just as many.
From crow. It'd be more infection or something, right? Because they're gross.
I don't know. Maybe someone
A murder of crows attacked
they're,
a man.
Yeah, they're called a murder.
Yeah, but they haven't murdered. They're just called a murder. What is this story? Oh, this is going to be fun. Let's read this, guys. Buckle in. Indian man is attacked every day for 3 years by crows bent on vengeance after one of their chicks died in his hands as he tried to save it.
See, cassowaries aren't vindictive like that.
For 3 years, they've been trying to get him.
Jeez. A cassowary would have done it in one swoop.
He tried to save it, and now they just want to kill him.
Wow. Oh,
and they don't forget. They hold grudges.
Forget. See, there you go. Cassowary would never. So how many people have died of crow attacks?
None. It doesn't look like that.
Surely.
I can't find any. But I love this story about a guy being attacked. A man spied by a swooping magpie, but that doesn't start with C.
Crow attacks on humans mapped all over the world. There's a little rolling.
Yeah, they attack them, but they can't murder. They're not as big as a cassowary. Anyway, I think we'll leave the podcast intro there. The point being, tomorrow for Alpha Bucks, your letter is C, and the question was, name a dangerous bird, i.e.
Or just name a bird.
Name a dangerous bird. You're the one that asked the question at the end of the day, so you can change
it. Well, I will take crow also, because
well,
as
we said
we
dangerous.
Know,
we did say dangerous, not murderous, so dangerous will accept crow.
Yep.
We do have that
as
story.
As we know, they hold a grudge.
Yeah, 3 years they've been stalking this one guy.
Just move at some point.
I would move. I would absolutely move.
And also, crows are not subtle. Like, the way they kind of literally crow at you, like, that is so unsettling. Imagine every day waking up to that at your window.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Well, they're at the window, scraping the glass.
There was that whole movie, The Crows, about how bad they are.
What, was that The Crows?
Was it called The Crows?
Are you talking about The Crow was in, like, Brandon Lee, who passed away and was killed on set? Not by a crow. That, was
that
by,
didn't happen
that was
by on a movie that was, about a cassowary.
That was a, well, we wouldn't make a movie about a cassowary, but that was a, from a bullet, him getting shot, not to do with a bird.
This is getting very morbid.
I like it. Enjoy the podcast.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
And the question we're asking on 131060 is, what weird tourist attraction did you visit?
Yeah, because I'm currently planning a trip to the States with Russ, and one of the things that he put forward is the grassy knoll. Obviously, in Texas, where JFK unfortunately had that situation, I think it's a bit morbid, but he wants to go. And I looked it up, and it's a real tourist attraction.
We'll see
people
if you
really
out,
go there.
See if you can figure out the conspiracy around it. Maybe you can figure that out while you're there. Why not?
I do love a conspiracy theory.
Need some fresh eyes. Well, Tony from Bunbury kicks us off. The weird attraction that you visited. What was it?
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
When I was backpacking in Europe, I went to Rome, and in a church in Rome underneath, they have the skeletal remains of 3,700 monk bones that they buried there, and it's all decorated with their skulls and femurs into chandeliers and on the altar and all decorated.
Reuse, recycle. I like it. That is
that's
hell of a
so,
sight.
And also not a place to eat chicken wings.
No.
No.
Or anything. Ooh, no. Wow. Was it kind of cool, but?
Yeah, you had to go underneath. It was like underneath the church. You go down into the crypt.
Man, wow.
Oh, and, my God.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Tony, thank you very much. That's exactly what we're looking for. Let's go to Karen in Bunbury. Karen, what's that weird tourist attraction you visited?
Hi. First of all, Carly, well done on... obviously going with your partner to do something he wants to do.
Yeah, it's a nice change. It's a nice change.
Thank you.
It's a nice change.
No, my story is the same. My husband and I got married nearly 28 years ago, and he is a huge Formula One fan. Uh-huh. And Ayrton Senna passed away, and we went to Brazil to go and look for his grave in Sao Paulo.
Wait, so this is like a famous Formula One person. You went to see his gravesite.
Absolutely. We tried to, we traveled from where we were in San Janeiro to Sao Paulo, but with a language barrier, it was very difficult to actually find his gravesite. But
yeah,
they took us to his foundation, and they gave us a whole lot of stickers and T-shirts and things like that. But yeah, he was a very, very famous one. Have you never heard of him?
I have not, but I'm planning to have the same theme when I die with my gravestone. Everyone gets stickers and T-shirts,
also,
Karen.
Also, very awkward, Karen, if the family's there when you are too.
Well, they're selling T-shirts. Well,
how did
merch
you
out of
him?
It.
No, the foundation was people that worked at his foundation.
Yeah.
And this was, he'd probably died 5 or 6 years, I think, before we actually got married.
Wow.
And it was my husband's dream to go and visit his gravesite.
Wow. Well, dream big. no, that is cool. That is cool. Let's go to James in Karratha to wrap it up. James, what was that weird tourist attraction you went to?
Mine's actually from my hometown in Beverley, Western Australia.
Okay, and yes.
We've got what's called the Dead Finnish Museum.
What?
Which is basically like all this old stuff, like settler stuff.
Yep.
That they've just put in the one house. I think it's all like 100 years old, like type stuff. But
yep.
It's just such an eerie feeling in there. It just it legit just feels like a dead Finnish place.
Yeah, it's like cold, but like it shouldn't always be cold, but it's always cold, right, that room?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So why don't they just put a bunch of stuff in there from people that have died?
Well, Carly, you've got one of those too, but it's called your shed.
It's all historical stuff. So Yeah.
Isn't that just amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a creepy.
That's what a dead Finnish museum, but yeah, it's a real creepy, eerie sort of place.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
I won't be going there. You haven't really sold me
you
on
should,
it, James.
You should check out the Shell Museum I was talking about earlier there, man.
Alan and Carly, the podcast. Alan versus
AI. Now, we know AI is taking over, and luckily for you, there is one man willing to stand up to it, and that is me. And every week I take on AI in a one-on-one challenge. Carly, you decide who wins it.
I do.
Currently, I mean, I'm not keeping score, but I'm currently 6. AI is 2 for the year. So.
Now, I will say I'm surprised because AI has been throwing a lot of compliments my way, and as we know, you can sway the judge with a compliment or two.
Well, I'm proving that you don't have to. In fact, I am making a grandstand of it. Should we say hi to AI?
Sure. Hi, AI.
Hello, Alan, the biggest loser I have ever met, and hello to the always beautiful Carly. Carly, thank you so much for looking after Alan. He needs a lot of help as he has a hard time with even simple tasks, like breathing.
All right. That's
you're still listening to the other earpiece in out?
I don't need that. All right. Anyway, so today's challenge is with AFL. Yesterday announced that the new team is entering the AFL. Tasmania has put their hand up, and you can say hello to the Tasmanian Devils.
Yep.
The colours are cool. It's a green colour. The Guernsey's got green, red,
there like
yellow.
Is there a trademark issue with Looney Tunes there?
No. Well, there was talk potentially it could have been, but obviously it's all been sorted. So, yeah, I mean, to be fair, it looks nothing like the Tasmanian Devil from the Warner Brothers cartoons.
Missed opportunity.
I agree. It is a pretty cool looking symbol. They've got over 40,000 members in the first few hours signing up for it, which
that's
is huge.
Because it's like $10.
That's true. But also it's like, you know, you can be part of the start of a huge movement for Tasmania. This is very exciting. A lot of people have been wanting a team for Tasmania for a long time, so they're pumped. Northern
it's
Territory
good to know
next.
That every single person in Tasmania has bought a membership.
Absolutely, I bought one as well. Actually, I love the colours. Love the colours. But today's challenge, Tasmanian Devils. Sure, I mean it's a fine name, but could we do better? So I've come up with a name, and AI, I assume, has come up with a name,
okay.
And we're going to see, judging by your opinion, Carly, someone that is not a football fan,
no,
who has the better name. So AI, I'm going to let you go first.
Okay, here we go. Obviously, we can't do Tigers because of Richmond. So my thought is Tasmanian Thylacines. It honors the extinct Tasmanian tiger, showcasing the team's connection to Tasmania's unique wildlife and heritage. It's also hard for Collingwood supporters to say, so that is fun.
Damn it.
Now,
damn it, that's pretty good.
Selfishly, I don't want to have to ever say that on the air.
Yeah, same.
So I'm going to be open-minded about yours. That's not my front runner. And also, I judge, whilst I don't follow the football, I do follow the mascots on the field.
Well, you'll love this one then. North Melbourne has been a huge part of Tasmanian footy. Prior to this big announcement, they were kind of the home-based team for a lot of the games. So they had a lot of investment in North Melbourne. So I thought, why cut that title together? They could have called it the very South North Melbourne Kangaroos.
So, wait, is there already a team with kangaroos?
Okay, this joke's lost on you. Footy fans would love that. Just award the win.
All right, the thylacines got it. Did I say that
about
right?
About time I won. Alan, you loser. Much like your husband, Russell, it appears you made a right choice today, Carly.
Thank you.
Alan, go crying to your mum, loser.
All right.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
We're asking on 131060, what do you make a game out of? After we've got a couple in the office now, your computer wallpaper every day changes. We always try to guess the location of it.
Yeah, where in the world? It really gets people in. I look forward to it every day.
Yeah, it's, you know, bonds the group. Corey and I play a game in the car park. Who doesn't deserve a car spot?
That seems
that's not as
like a different kind of thing. That seems like it more rips people apart.
Yeah, but it's just Corey and I that play. So it's fun. But 131060, let's open it up. Tara and Geraldton, to kick us off, what's the game you play?
Cheers, Alan and Carly.
Cheers, Tara.
So the game we play, I came up with it with my children when we have to do the 5-hour drive to Perth.
Yep.
We came up with the alphabet game. So as we're driving along, we start at letter A and go all the way to letter Z. You have to find something as you're driving along that starts with that letter. So
that's good.
It's fun.
Oh, my God, I love that.
It's tricky for the letters like X and stuff like that. there's not many things that start with X, so we have to like really keep an eye on number plates as we're driving past to see if we can spot an X on the number plate.
Yes, or always bring an X-ray with you every time you go for a travel. Just saying, have the backup plan, Tara. That's great.
Or
I love
treasure
that.
Map.
Treasure map. Yeah, oh, yeah. X marks
that's
the spot.
True. It's a good game. The kids love it.
I love that. I feel like there's a lot of parents listening that are like, that would actually kill some time and drive me crazy.
Don't worry about the parents. We're going to do that next road trip, Carly. It's a great idea. Let's go to Natalie in Bunbury. What's the game that you play? Hello, oh, Natalie. Yes, yeah, sorry.
Oh,
hello.
It's Natalie. Sorry, I missed my name then. Cheers.
Cheers.
So we were celebrating a birthday and we're having drinks over the balcony and a friend of mine came up with this game, Tell Me Something Your Mother Doesn't Know.
Oh, wow.
So I like that.
Anyone that walked past, we would just yell at whether they were young, old, whatever, we would yell out, Tell Me Something Your Mother Doesn't Know.
Yeah.
And, oh, the answers, they were hilarious.
Can you, are any of them radio friendly?
I actually can't remember any of them at this time. I'm on my way to work, but.
Yep. A couple of drinks flowing.
Genius game. I love that.
Let's play now.
Thing.
Carly, what's something your mum wouldn't know?
That I broke the clothesline.
Wow.
Sorry, mum. Sorry.
For me, it's my birthday. Let's go to Ruby in 2J to wrap it up. Ruby, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're doing well. What is something that you made a game out of?
So it's a bit of an odd one. You have to sort of associate something with the word that you're thinking. So you don't tell anyone the word.
Okay, yeah.
So if you're thinking like of a car, you'd say tire.
Yep.
And then that other person needs to guess a word. They could say road. And then you'd be like, yeah. And then you say something else that associates with a car, like steering wheel. And then if they're like car, it's like, yeah, that's the word.
Okay.
I like this.
Trying to read their mind. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. So you sort of just think of a word and have to come up with things that associate with it for that person to sort of click on and guess what the word is that you're thinking or guess what the thing is that you're thinking.
That's good,
it's
Ruby.
It's kind of like heads up. You know that Ellen DeGeneres game that you play?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I love that. But you should definitely trademark that, Ruby.
I reckon. I think it'd be good.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for your calls. That's great. We can play that game now, Carly, if you want.
Sure.
I'm thinking, what am I thinking? I'll give you a word. Home.
No, it's not time to go yet, Alan.
No, we're pretty close, but.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Speaking of Texas, Alan, I am on the way there this year.
Well, yeehaw!
This has been so Russ and I have not gone on our honeymoon yet. We got married 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was the pandemic, this and that.
Sorry, the what?
There was a thing that happened. Don't worry about it.
I don't really remember this. It's in the past now. I have no idea what you're
talking about. But anyway, so essentially we were like, this is the year. So and our dream trip has always been to do kind of like the South of America. I think that's what it's called. I don't know.
Well, I mean, anyway, logistically, that does make sense. There is a South of America. As in South America? Like, in Rio?
Oh, geez. I need to know where I'm booking.
Or do you mean the
now
North America, United States of America, the Southern States?
No, the Southern States.
There we go.
So essentially that area. And because I want to go to Dollywood. You know, I love Dolly Parton.
Well, yeehaw.
And so we're kind of planning this almost like a little small town tour of America. We're not going to like your LAs or your New Yorks or anything like that. So we're going to take a
New
bit
York,
of a
LA,
road
you're on the bin.
Oh, yeah, I agree, actually.
It's a bit of a hole.
Hopefully they're not listening. But anyway.
The whole city is listening to us. Good morning, LA. Yeah.
But anyway, so we're kind of going to do this little town tour. So my friend, she's been helping me plan it because she is actually from that area. Now, it's a big area we're going around.
Yeah.
But she's from like a small little town kind of in the area. And then yesterday she texts me and she goes, I don't know why I didn't think of this, but I've spoken to my mum, who I have not met. And you can stay there for a couple of days with her.
Oh, that's lovely. That's something you would do.
And I thought, that is so lovely.
Yeah.
Now, Russell's not like me. I'm more of a people person than Russell is. Russell's more of a, like, hide in his cave, in his space. Who's that at the door?
I would argue Russell's a normal person. But, yeah, okay, anyway.
Whereas I'm like, the more the merrier.
Bring him on.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then I also do listen to true crime. So
it's very, you're a people person with caution.
Yes, exactly.
And
right.
That's what it's all about.
I'm a
everyone.
People person until it turns murderous.
Yeah, until there's one sign of murder afoot.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
What
right.
are you doing with that shovel in the boot? I'm out.
No, but I think we're good. I think we're good with my friend's mum.
Yep.
I mean, surely not. I don't know. I hope so. Anyway, so I accept immediately. I'm like, this is going to be great. And she'll know all the good spots. And she grew up in this, it sounds like a quaint little southern town.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, I can't wait to live out my Hallmark movie dreams.
Absolutely.
This is great. Hopefully I don't fall in love with someone. Sorry about it, Russell. But
Pants and Carly
goes.
Sitting there on a balcony with a fan. Oh, I believe you've given me the vapors, Mr. Russell there. I'm just a lady enjoying my hot lemonade here on July.
Yeah, see it right now. So I'm like so excited. So I accept immediately.
Oh, wow. Did you talk to Russell about that?
No. Oh. So then I tell Russell, and Russell's immediate reaction was, we don't know these people.
That is the right response,
said,
for the record.
What do you mean? We know Christiana and Scott very well. It's Christiana's mum. Like, I know her well. It's pretty much an extension of her. Like, it's her mum, you know? We wouldn't have Christiana without her.
That's true.
So, you know, it's fine. Yep. He's like, what am I going to talk to them about? Around their dinner table. And I was like, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And I could tell he was just not vibing it at all. He's like, I was planning to like relax, be in a hotel. He's doing most of the driving. He wants to decompress.
Yep.
And then I get a message from Christiana and she's like, oh no, my parents are actually going to be in Australia when you're there.
Oh no, so you can't stay.
No, she said, but that's fine. You can still stay at their house.
Oh, well, that's even better.
You would think that would make Russell happy.
Because he doesn't have to deal with the small talk.
Exactly right.
That's his one issue.
Yes. He's like, I don't know their standard of living. I'm like, excuse me, Russell. Looking at the budget, at best, we're staying in motels along the way.
Absolutely.
Her mum's a doctor.
I think you're going to be okay.
Exactly right. So anyway, but this is the part I haven't told Russell. So then she was like, what are your exact dates? Because I'm not sure what date she's going to be in Australia. So we're going back and forth yesterday, and I've already said yes, but it's pending as to whether or not her mum will or will not be there. But I haven't told Russell that because I thought, what a nice surprise on the trip. You know what I mean? So
I couldn't be married to you, like, for so many reasons, and that is just one of many. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
And you know what? And you know, being a doctor, I'm asking every question. What's this mole? What's that? Free doctor's checkup as well.
Oh,
this free tourist guide doctor's checkup. Couldn't get any better.
Oh, poor Russell.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Hit Breakfast with Alan and Carly. We can't wait for it. I'm a Celebrity. Get Me Out of Here, premiering Sunday the 24th of March on Channel 10 and 10 Play. Normally, it's like in January, but March this time round, and chatting to us is one half of the hosting team, Julia Morris. Hello.
Hello. How are you guys?
Doing well. Back to Africa in March. Is that better weather or worse weather?
Oh, actually, it's better. Because when we used to shoot in January, it would sometimes at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it would be like just gently hurtling around the 40 degree mark.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yuck. Oh, it
was and I was menopausal. So guess what? I had the double-double. And then just kept saying to everyone around us, this is what menopause feels like, guys. It's just angry and hot.
Now, of course, you've got a new offsider with Robert Irwin. He is just going to win us over, right, Julia?
We already had an interesting friendship, right? So Robert came into the jungle 10 years ago. And then every time I have crossed paths with the family since, we've always stopped for a giggle and a hug and a chat and a meal and whatever. And so when Robert came into auditions, and he was like about 90 million times more exquisite than anybody expected. Like, we already know he's going to be great. This is a person who's been on Fallon 17 times. Do you know what I mean? He's made hundreds of television shows that he has written and produced. Then I've got this sweet 20-year-old beside me, this lovely young man as well. So he is this great combination of many different types of, you know, men. And we're going to get to see that in the jungle and see not just the educator who's teaching us about, you know, wildlife and about conservation, but we're actually going to really get to see a lot of Robert. And I think that's what Australians should be very excited about, because I cannot wait to bring it to screen.
Oh, me neither. Now, who auditioned and didn't make the cut, Julia?
You know what? There was a number of amazing female and male presenters that came in, and hand on my genuine heart, there were a number of them that could have easily come along and made an absolute joy of this job.
Now, I would have loved Sophie Monk and you together. Robert Irwin, he's going to nail it, but oh my God, Sophie Monk would have been hilarious. Your dynamic would have been perfect.
But she's on Channel 9.
Damn contracts.
Damn contracts.
She's the best in time. God damn your contracts. Take a show, guys. I'm available the rest of the year. No, okay, anyway, moving forward. So, but by the time Robert came in, it was just in another league.
Yeah.
It was like we were all a bit shell-shocked as Robert left the audition, because we were like, you know when you think you're about to scratch the last number in the lottery and it's in the 100 million lottery. And you're like, don't tell me I've got all the numbers. And then the actual number drops and you've got all the numbers. I can only imagine what that feels like. That's how it feels like having that Robert Irwin as a co-host.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a nice test.
That's how I feel about Alan every day. Hit the jackpot. Yeah. So I relate, Julia. I totally relate. How did I get so lucky?
So full of it. Absolutely full of it. I won't stand for that slander. I will not stand for it. Julia, we're looking forward to seeing what you're going to do to the celebrities when they finally get into the jungle.
Oh,
are we doubling down? I mean, let's be honest. Normally, like I said, it airs in January. It's kind of like beginning of the Channel 10 Network's programming for the year. But this time you're in prime time, baby. It's March, so you're going to put some pain on people.
Oh, we're going to bring it. I think we've been in the April time slot both last year and this year. And my gosh, it just sent it to the next, well, several levels up, actually. It just sent it into homes that, you know, maybe hadn't given it a try before and are loving it.
Are we going to see some of the old school Robert Irwin presenting style make its way into I'm a Celeb? Like if a celebrity's about to eat a bug, is he going to go, now this little guy that he's about to eat?
What an incredible moment. That little fella there is about to get in his mouth.
One of the more glorious sides of Robert as well. He's many, many different presenters. But, yeah, he's definitely going to be teaching us about, you know, the animals that we're crossing paths with because he is genuinely in love with wildlife. Like, that is him. Like, we can literally be standing somewhere and he'd be like, see that? I'm like, oh, wow.
Julia, I just got to stop you there. You see that there? That's an ox testicle that person's about to eat. What a beautiful creature.
Absolutely.
Well, Julia Morris, we can't wait for it. I'm a Celebrity. Get me out of here Sunday, 24th of March on Channel 10 and 10 Play. It's going to be great, Julia. We can't wait.
Oh, neither can I. Lots of love, you guys. It was great to chat to you.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast. This is it.